amazing what the Lord does for us. Amen.
Amen.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's go to Him in a word of prayer. Ask Him to be with us. For some of us, we've been here most all day today. The choir's been trying our best. Get ready for Easter Sunday morning. That's next Sunday. We're very excited about it. Brother Larry, would you take us to the Lord tonight in a word of prayer? Choir, remain standing. Church, stand with me. Turn over to page number 390. Page 390, and let's sing, "There is Power in the Blood." All right, everyone sing now. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
On the last,
would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Church, you can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's good to see you back in the house of the Lord tonight. And we're excited about the service tonight. It's baptism. Amen.
Amen.
It's always a great service, and we're very thankful for that. Remember, a couple of announcements. Of course, next Sunday morning is Easter Sunday morning. Choir practice at 9 next Sunday. We're going to meet together, choir, at 8 o'clock or 8 o'clock-ish on Wednesday evening. And then Saturday morning at 10, and I'll have you out of here by noon. So please be much in prayer for the choir as we try and make ready for Easter Sunday morning. And then, of course, we have Bible study next Sunday morning at a regular time at 10, and then service at 11. And then we have no Easter Sunday night service. Give you an opportunity to spend some time with your family. And know that you always enjoy having that time together. So no Sunday night service next week. So please remember that. Please also remember that Brother Justin's birthday is coming up. And we have an ice cream social on April the 28th. There's a sign-up sheet down front. Please make sure that you sign up for what is needed for that night. Ice cream, cakes, steaks, french fries, you know, that kind of thing. Trying to help you out, brother. Trying to help you out. That'll be a great night. We look forward to that, Brother Justin's birthday, and we'll celebrate that together. We had a couple of birthdays today. Brother Don's birthday is today. Amen. Hey, Miss Sharon's birthday was today, and we've had a little sang for them a little earlier today. We pretty much took their families away from them for choir practice today. Appreciate you sharing that their day with us today, Brother Don, sharing your wife with us today. And captured Sharon all day today. We thank you for your faithfulness today. And would you please just for a moment just give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank the choir for all their hard work. Amen. I believe that you will be well pleased, and it's all for the glory of God. For next Sunday morning, as we try and present a little bit of a program about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes.
And so we're excited about that. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. A few moments, Brother Justin, come around to bring the word, and then we'll have baptismal service tonight. If you're visiting with us, you're a special guest, and we thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship tonight. If you're here for the baptismal service, we thank you for being here to witness a great, great event in the life of a newborn believer. Amen.
Amen.
And we're excited about that. And their step out in faith to let you know that they've trusted Christ as their Savior and their first step as a newborn believer. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would just touch these young hearts that have, Lord, chosen, Lord, you as their Savior. And they're choosing now to follow you, Lord, in believer's baptism here in a few moments. And Lord, I pray that you would use them and walk with them and guide them, Lord, through their young lives. That, Lord, in the days to come, that they'll be a great witness for you. And they'll tell others about what you've done for them. And that they, too, would be able to lead someone to Christ. And, Lord, I pray that you'd be with these that are here tonight. Maybe someone's here that doesn't know you, Lord, it's just as they didn't know you just a few weeks ago. Lord, maybe something that they'll hear tonight would cause them to realize that they need to follow you as personal Savior as well. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with our pastor. Lord, be with the choir tonight as we sing. Lord, now touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, be with our church. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the children's home back home safely to us tonight. Lord, there's been some storms around today, and Lord, thank you for keeping us all safe. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to be able to be in your house today. And Lord, we thank you for the Easter celebration, Lord, the celebration of the resurrection, Lord, as these next couple of weeks as we get together, and Lord, we just worship you and praise you. But now, Lord, be in the service tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished in Jesus' name. It's all because I am redeemed.
I am redeemed, bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. If anybody asks you just who I am, tell.
I'll tell of God's favor, I'll tell you of His love, I'll tell of His goodness, God's goodness to me. For He's purchased my redemption with His own precious blood,
And from sin I've been set free.
Listen, I just want to thank Calvary's Children Home. What y'all did over there at Cassie's house, y'all was like little termites when y'all got over. I mean, y'all moved that stuff out so fast. I took a load to the salvage dump, and when I come back, a whole section was gone that I didn't think we'd be able to get. You know what I'm talking about, Don. And it gave me... I don't know, it was a light at the tunnel. I could see that I was going to finish this thing. And I just want to thank you guys, every one of you. I appreciate y'all. Brian, you and Darlene, I appreciate y'all. I appreciate all the teachers, the parents of up there. Y'all mean so much to us, and y'all always step up. They had a line. I mean, an assembly line. They were taking pieces of wood, parts, whatever. It's like a bunch of ants just walking through and just putting it in the dump. And I appreciate that. It helped us so much. I got a praise. I have got to tell y'all that, and this is to God. He put it on my heart to write, to give those Revelation books out. And I said, Lord, whatever you do with them will be fine. Let us be obedient to you. Well, I was at my uncle's funeral yesterday, and one of my cousins walked up, and she said, I got one of your books. I got your Revelation Made Easy. And she said, I'm putting on PDF file. And she said, with that, I can go on the Internet. I'm going to send it all through my emails, and then their friends will send it through emails. So there's no telling what God can do with this if we just allow to be obedient servants. Thank y'all.
In the back to baptize these two young ones. And let me say that their salvation experience began during Junior Jubilee, this past Jubilee at the church. And we appreciate those who had part in that. And we're excited about them being professing to be saved and now following through with baptism. And we'll speak about that in just a moment. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the New Testament book for just a moment, the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. 1 Peter, chapter number 3, and then we're going to look at some things from Genesis 6. 1 Peter, chapter number 3. In Genesis 6, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 18 out of 1 Peter 3. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful, those of us who have called upon you for salvation. We're thankful, Lord, that our new position is in Christ, in God. Lord, we're no longer enemies of the cross. We're no longer on our way to hell, Lord. We are no longer separated and on our own, but we are connected to God by Jesus. And we're thankful for that new position. Father, tonight I pray that we would all be refreshed and renewed through your word, through the actual ordinance of baptism. That is expressing to the world that there's been an inward change. There's been an acceptance of God's plan into the heart. And because of that, there's a public display now. Like Christ died on the cross and was buried, rose again the third day. The liquid grave is what we're looking at tonight. Be with us for the next few moments. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3, look at verse number 18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. And look in verse number 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities, powers being made subject unto him. I want to call your attention tonight for a few moments to verse number 21, the first three words there. The Bible says, the like figure. Peter is giving us a picture or a type of baptism. In fact, he is, or at least this is Peter's way through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, explaining in a picture or a photograph, if you would, of times past in the Old Testament of what baptism is. And tonight, we don't have a lot of time to get into the ins and outs of baptism and have a theological course. I'd have to do a bit more studying to be ready for that. But I just want to give a picture tonight, a simple practical view of what baptism is. And I know we just stated a few moments ago that it's a public expression of an inward conversion. The moment someone says yes to Jesus and says, I know I'm a sinner and I know that my sin has separated me from God, and I accept Jesus, which is the mediator between God and man. I accept him into my heart, then I won't be saved. I'll go to hell. Because of that, I accept what Jesus has done. I accept that he's the mediator. He's the way, the truth, and the life. To get to God is by Jesus. And when a person comes to that point in their life and they accept that, doesn't have to be in that terminology, doesn't have to be in those words, just someone that understands that you can't save your own self. Your own righteousness doesn't get it accomplished, but it's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when a person accepts that, then they get to express it publicly of what happened on the inside. So again, if you notice, look in verse number 20. I want to talk to you for a few moments on this subject. Noah's Ark, a picture of baptism. Again, Peter is using Noah as a picture of baptism. Verse number 20, he says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And so now he's talking about the ark. He's talking about that which was constructed and built by Noah, which God had told him to do. So Noah built that ark. And now in verse number 21, Peter says, the like figure. Or he's saying that that ark that Noah built, that God instructed him to build, Peter is saying the like figure, or in a picture is what he's saying. Noah's ark, verse 20. Verse 21, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Baptism doesn't eradicate or take away sin. It doesn't wash away your past sins, your present sins, or future sins. Baptism doesn't do that. And Peter's careful to explain. He says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ. What does that mean, an answer? Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. I believe what that means is, and it deals with the first step of obedience as a Christian, following through with believer's baptism and publicly declaring you're a new creature in Christ. Your position has changed. Things are different in your life. You have an inheritance from Jesus. And so Peter begins to talk about this, and he says it doesn't eradicate sin or take away sin, but he says you are, by baptism, soothing or easing your conscience because it's the right thing to do. Now, I said that I want to talk about Noah's Ark, a picture of baptism, and for a few moments I want to do that. And so turn to Genesis chapter 6 for a moment. Peter's talking about, in like figure, Noah's Ark. And he's bringing out some things concerning water baptism. So what is it about Noah's Ark that we can glean a picture of baptism? Genesis chapter number 6. There's at least three different stages that has to do with Noah's Ark when he built it. Number one, there was the preparing stage. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. This is what the Lord says to Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it, make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So the first part of this Noah's Ark building has to do with the preparing stage. This is when God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark. And the reason for the construction of this ark is because God was getting ready to destroy the earth because of sin. Sin and violence. In fact, the first seven verses of chapter 6 deals with that. How that sin and violence was filling the earth, and God saw the wickedness thereof. And it repented the Lord that he made man, is what the Bible says. And so now there was a word from God concerning this, concerning the destroying of the earth. And so he spoke to Noah about building a way to escape this ark. And so during this preparing stage is when Noah was building the ark, but also Noah was preaching the word. Peter says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And for 120 years, as he was building that ark, he was telling the world that condemnation is upon the land because of sin. And the Lord was going to destroy it. And there's penalty because of sin. And God was going to annihilate and destroy the whole world because of the great wickedness. But Noah, at the same time, was building this ark and saying, there's coming a day when we're going to have to enter into this ark. We don't know when it's going to be, and we don't know how it's going to come about, but this is the safe house. God told me to build it. Can I say that all these years later, in like figure, we're doing the very same thing. Sunday in and Sunday out, Wednesday in and Wednesday out. Personally, as Christians, in the highways and hedges of this world, we are saying that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming again. And because he's coming, we are to make ready ourselves. We're to reach the world and let the world know that Jesus is coming to take his church away. And then the tribulation will take place upon the earth. And so that's the object, or that's the drive of the church. That's the goal of the church. The mission of the church is to do that. Let me say this, that while there was a preparing stage of Noah's Ark, there was coming a time when that one door was going to be shut. And when that door was shut, no one could get out and no one could get in. In like figure, or as a picture of salvation, in the day and time which we live, there's coming a time, again, as I said a moment ago, that the day of grace, the church age, when preaching and teaching is being done day in and day out, no matter where you might be, it's in like figure, there is a door open. Noah's door to the ark was open for 120 years, and I'm sure there was mockery against Noah. Oh, Noah, what are you talking about? God is going to destroy the earth. Oh, no, what are you talking about that God is going to destroy all of the flesh and the great wickedness? The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. So he preached against sin, and he preached against God coming to destroy the earth and replenish the earth. And he preached that he was building a safe house for everybody to come in. For 120 years, he did that. Mocked and ridiculed for preaching the gospel. But there came a time when Jesus said, the Lord said, look in chapter 7, in verse number 1. Chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation. And so there came a time when the work was done. And all the opportunities were being sealed up. And the Lord told Noah, today is the day. Noah, come into the ark. Did you get that? He didn't say go into the ark, implying that the Lord was on the outside and Noah would be on the inside by himself. But the Bible says, come. The Bible also says in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter number 11, I believe it is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you heavy laden? Are you toiling and rowing in your life and trying to find happiness and trying to find joy and trying to find peace? Is that you tonight? Are you toiling and rowing, so to speak, in life with a bunch of fallen dreams and things that should have happened but that didn't happen? I want to say tonight that the door of God's grace is still open. And God is still saving people and inviting people to come in into Him and accept His plan of salvation. He says in verse number 1 again, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." So there was a time where He said, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark." I want to say that one day the Bible, as the Bible states, that there's coming in a day where, in fact, it's in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. John speaks of, after he talks about the seven churches of Asia Minor in previous chapters, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "After this," and he begins to talk about, after, what does "after this" mean? After all of the churches are mentioned, and then the very last church, the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, "After this I looked and behold," and talked about "the voice that said, Come up hither." That's a reference to the rapture of the church. I want to say tonight that there's coming a day where the door to God's grace, the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, will be over. And as the scriptures say, the Lord will speak and sound the trumpet, "Come up hither," and He will rapture His church. I want you to notice something else in chapter number 7. In verse number 11, the Bible says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And so now the rain begins to come. God opened the windows. The ark of the door is now open, and it stayed open for 7 days. So Noah's family's in the ark, and the rain's coming down. And the door of the ark stayed open for 7 days. That was an extended period of grace while it was raining. But then that 7 day period was over, that door of the ark was shut, then all of the rains and all of the winds kept on coming, and then it flooded the whole entire earth, is what the Bible says. So we see that there was a preparation stage. Then we see there's a saving stage. Genesis chapter 7, I just read the verse to you in verse number 1. And Noah's in the ark and his family's in the ark. If Noah was in the ark and his family was in the ark, and the door is now shut, who was all outside the door? Everyone who rejected Christ was outside the door. And so this water, to those who rejected what Noah was preaching, it killed them. But the water to Noah and his family saved them. But it wasn't the water that saved them per se for salvation. It was the sense that Noah and his family was inside the ark, which is a picture of Jesus or Christ. And now the ark is resting on the waters. And so we see that it gives a picture of salvation. Now, when we get ready to baptize these, it's a picture of the ark. Can I just take a minute? Is there a ringing noise over here? Okay, all right. About to drive me crazy up here. Good. You baptize and a person accepts Jesus is as in the same sense that someone has stepped into the ark. And when you step into the ark, as in Noah's day, a picture of the New Testament, Jesus is our ark. He is our salvation. He is our strong tower. We accept Him. And it gives the picture when someone gets saved as that boat was floating on top of the water. But yet Noah and his family were safe because of where they were at. I want to say there's safety in Jesus tonight. There is safety in Him. When a person gets saved and they enter into God's ark, and when they accept Him as their Savior, then comes the picture of salvation, the picture of deliverance. One thing, we're delivered from the condemnation and the judgment to come. That's one thing baptism pictures. Not only does it picture we have died to self and now we're resurrected unto new life, and the way that Jesus died on the cross, we died to ourself, and Jesus arose and walked victoriously. Same for us, but also it's a wonderful picture. We're no longer under God's condemnation. Let me mention one more thing. We'll bring it to a close. Chapter number 8 and verse 16. Not only do we see Noah's Ark, a picture of baptism, we see the preparing stage, the saving stage, but then the renewing stage. Verse number 16. Look at that first word. Go. He says, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. Verse number 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Let me say this, and we'll change gears and get ready to baptize. So Noah preached. Noah prepared. 120 years. Judgment's coming. God's going to destroy this place. Come into the ark. Stay close. And then it actually started raining. And the door stayed open for 7 more days. And then no one went in but Noah and his own family. Then the door was shut and that was it. So God rained down and the waters came and flooded. Everything was engulfed with water. Everything died. And after 40 days, Noah sent forth the raven, he sent forth the dove, and he finally understood and realized that all the waters were dried up. You can go back and read that later, verse 13 and 14. And then in verse number 16, he says, now go forth. See, there was a certain point where he said, come into the ark. Now he says, go forth of the ark. 8 souls are the ones saved. Imagine having a ministry for 120 years and 8 converts. Let me say this. If those 8 converts are your family, you've done good, my friend. And let me say something else. Noah was ridiculed and he was mocked, I'm sure, for preaching. But the moment Noah stepped off that ark and he owned everything, I'm sure he was thinking to himself, it was worth every loose tongue. It was worth every word of ridicule that came my way. It was worth everything that any person had said to me or tried to do to me to try to deter me from my work of the Lord. When Noah stepped off, he owned everything. That's a picture of the newness of life in a believer's heart. When a person gets saved, they accept Jesus as their personal Savior. and then they follow through with believers' baptism, and they're telling the world that they have died to self and they've been resurrected with Jesus, and there's a new life. The same way Noah experienced newness is the same way that a child of God experiences newness. I'm not the same anymore. I don't walk the way I used to walk. I don't talk the way I used to talk. He made a difference in me. Well, he does it in everyone's life that would allow him to be their Savior. So we see that there was a preparing stage, saving stage, but then a renewing stage. The message tonight is simply this: Noah's Ark, a picture of baptism. And I believe that's what Peter was trying to give. Noah's Ark being the refuge, the place of safety, the waters that flooded the earth to destroy it, and then the newness of what Noah owned after the waters abated. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and for what you do, Father. We pray, Lord, as we move into the baptismal part, that you would be honored and you would be glorified. Father, we're thankful for Kristen Bennett and Jeremy Slagle, these two young tender plants, Lord, that are growing up, and thankful, Lord, that they've been under the gospel. Thankful, Lord, that during Junior Jubilee and the obedience of Brother Brian teaching night in and night out, and not just last year, but years of teaching and instructing our kids, Lord, we're thankful for that. And then the time came when they saw the reality that they needed a Savior. We're thankful, Lord. I pray that you would be glorified, magnified, Lord, as we try to portray two new lives this evening, Lord. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for all you do and for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You want to sing a few? All right.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Why don't you turn over to page 305 and sing with me? I would love to have you sing with me. 305.
Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
On the last verse.
To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday